Let us be drawn together in prayer. O holy night, this night, gracious God, is marked by our own calendar. You did not give it from the ages. We have made it. We have named these months according to our lesser gods, according to our designs, and our festivals are full of the most human of delights. How grateful we are that you have also drawn us into space like this, that we might make good use of time and watch time and listen and come home to ourselves. May the songs we've sung and sing, may the sounds of the spheres that are raised up by our choir, the prayers, the word read and spoken, and the silence be to your glory. Amen. In our story from Genesis, Abram, who has not yet received the full name Abraham, meaning father of multitudes, Abram still has a name meaning exalted father, but he is father to no one. And he is very old, and so he is very anxious. This story catches him in a crisis, and he's feeling faceless before time and addresses himself to his God. In this moment, with nothing to show, there comes this question: what has my life been for? Why did I live it? What sign of it, when I am gone, will there be? How show that I yearned for heaven or for love? And how say that boundless desire burned in me sometimes, not to conquer, but a desire to embrace, to yield? How say these things? How handle the sands falling through my hands? These are Abram's crisis and anyone's crisis who faces the question, why did I live? Even to those who are blessed with many children, this question can come a moment like this. We might call it the crisis of Genesis. Will it matter? Here we are once more at the cusp of a new year. Why do we mark it so clearly, so sharply? Does it matter, the year? From the surface of the sun, if you could imagine someone seeing from there, if from the surface of the sun one could look into the heavens and see planet Earth fly by in the sky, our new world and our new year, this festival, would not show up at all as anything very distinct, as important, because from there, what would they see? The twirling earth looks the same. You couldn't even say day by day, because there wouldn't be the marking of time from the surface of the sun. There'd be no night, there'd be no day. And that earth, oh, if someone were really a bit of an amateur astronomer, they'd notice that there was a regular pattern to when that little Earth thing stopped in the sky right over our house, if there were a house on the surface of the sun. But it wouldn't be very important looking. You know what would be important would be Saturn. Saturn looks really, did you see those photos of Saturn coming out of NASA this year? Saturn would only appear 3 times in a human lifetime from the surface of the sun. Now that would be something. But why do we mark our new year around the sun so seriously? Well, the answer's simple, really, isn't it? Because we want to see this precious thing of life, this thing we cannot catch or keep. We want to see it. And we need a little distance. And so we stop for a moment. Could you be found anywhere more fitting and warm than a cathedral in which to watch and wonder whether and how it all mattered? You know, I like reading the scientists who popularize quantum physics. Brian Greene, Paul Davies, some others come to mind. My mind, it feels a bit limited when I encounter these things, so the popularizers are a big help dealing with the infinitely small and the infinitely grand things of quantums. Quanta is the right word, right? And pulsars and supernova exploding. I can't begin to explain the experiments they've been doing these last 100 years to reveal the nature of the universe that we inhabit. But I do bring a short report of my often awe-struck experience while reading these books. Here it is. The universe is very, very, very weird. Really weird. The world is crazy, says one scientist in Paul Davies' book. And he's speaking, of course, not of human behavior, but the behavior of photons, of light, of gravity, of time. John Wheeler, a physicist, writes, time is in trouble. The word time is in quotes. The whole concept of time is in trouble. And he joins a chorus of quantum colleagues in singing what only mystics used to sing before Einstein. Namely, these are Einstein's words, the distinction between past, present, and future is only an illusion. That's quite a New Year's resolution, huh? You probably know that light is literally bent by the gravity of big bodies moving through space. In fact, they did an experiment at the Empire State Building. 2 identical atomic clocks were placed, one on Fifth Avenue and one at the top of the building. And yes, they tell time differently. Because not much, but a little, the kind of thing they can measure. And it's different because light is being bent by the gravity of the Earth and it's changing time. Oh my. Now, if all of this sounds bewildering, then we're done. because I wasn't really trying to get new knowledge into your head. I hardly have any myself on this subject. What I'd rather is to offer a flavor on this New Year's Eve for how utterly unconnected from common sense and ordinary cause and effect is this universe we inhabit. It's weird. It is heedless, too, of our orbit around the sun. It just isn't paying attention to our time calculations, this little festival, our reckoning what is so. You know, a little astronomy and a little physics can humble you on a night like this. Before the sciences peered in at the infinitely little and peered out at the infinitely great through their magnificent glasses, everyone used to assume that humans were the center of everything. Each tribe, each culture was so proud it believed that all truth was to be seen through our stories, through our beliefs only. Everyone else was in error, and we hated them and discarded them and ignored them. But good glasses forced us off our throne. Like children growing up, who must stop seeing themselves as the only thing that matters in the family, we began to see that neither we ourselves nor our people or our culture stood at the center of anything. And so our Earth does not really stand at the center, our solar system not at the center, our galaxy not at the center, and some say maybe our universe is not at the center of anything. And as these watchmen of science looked in and looked out since Einstein 100 and some years ago, there have been other kinds of deep knowing. A science, after all, that's what the word means in Latin, to knowledge. Other kinds of deep knowing mirrored what was happening in the sciences that were decentering us. A world of color began to replace a world of blinding white, at least here in America and in Europe and South Africa. Men began to see women not as ours, but all of us as us, as equals and more than equals. For did not we men begin to see the feminine in our shadow, and you women, the masculine in yours? We have been growing deeper. Oh, not all of us all at once, but something's been moving. The voice of the love that dare not speak its name began to be heard in courts and legislatures and finally in churches. We saw, like scientists, that there wasn't just one place to stand, to see, but an infinite number. And our times changed. Even our mute Mother Earth, having suffered centuries from our insatiable self-centeredness, now makes her song heard in the calving of glaciers and terrible tempests. Many are listening. What comes next? Will greed and war makers see the black hole that they have sunk in history before it swallows us all up? The motive force in real science and the motive force in justice and the motive force in love all arise from one source. Science, justice, love. We say the source is God, not because we know, like a scientist knows, some object called God. We say it out of awe and honor, and because we feel a moving energy, a force in science and love and justice. And so we know that God is not as we thought, and our universe is not as we thought, and we ourselves are no longer as we thought. Our times have changed. By science, justice, and love, true God draws us ever further up into God's self. Oh, it's a way of speaking. It's a kind of poetry. It takes us beyond anything we have yet known. True God draws us ever further up into God's self, away from ourself at center, away from our fears. And oh, do note how this movement matches the hymn of the Master's relinquishment, which was told in the epistle by the Apostle Paul. You recall that Christ Jesus did not regard equality with God a thing to take advantage of. He did not put himself at center, but emptied himself, was born in human form, took the form of a slave, and humbled himself. To the point of death. Did his life matter? Wasn't that the question we began with through Abraham? Do you think Jesus felt the crisis of Genesis? Wondered what his life had been for? Why he lived it? What would be the sign of it when he was gone? What children his love would leave, since he too was a father with no heir. And yet, like Abraham beneath the stars, Jesus trusted the word of the Lord of life. He trusted that his life was not a meaningless mote cast into empty space. Like Abram, he gave himself over to an unknown future, to a future he could not see. He did not fear. He emptied himself. He trusted that there would come through him generations in the spirit beyond the number of stars in the sky. Dear friends, these stories are for you and for me. They are for us as we swing on this beautiful ship through space one more turn around the sun. They're here, these stories, waiting like the upper reaches of the vault of this cathedral, waiting like the upper reaches of the vault of the heavens above, waiting, waiting to assure you that those who see what is really so know that they stand at the center of nothing. And yet, we are standing, allowed to stand, not crushed, so that we might look up and see. We are given a heart to love, eyes to witness to the wonder absolute set beneath a heaven full of stars beyond counting. Will it matter your life. You have been told why you can say yes to that, even though you are standing on nothing that can be seen. The Lord reckons this to you as righteousness and sends you out under the night sky, this very night sky, to count the stars if you can and trust that you are the father and mother of generations to come. Amen.